Okay, so long, long ago, when I was about 19 or 20, there used to be an extraordinary nightclub in the town where I grew up, Gravesend. It only happened once a month, but it was, without doubt, the coolest thing that has ever happened to Gravesend. It's not a long list of cool things, but it's at the top. People would come from miles around to go to this monthly nightclub. It only happened once a month. I personally was so obsessed with it that I still have every single advert, flyer, poster and ticket from those nights. They're all still in a box in the attic. And let me read you some of the nonsense that used to be written on them. How about this for some extravagant claims? Here it is. Are you attractive, outgoing, and between the ages of 18 and 30? Yes. Do you like to fly? Can you dance? Not do you like to dance, but can you dance? Could you handle a Sunday bank holiday night at the Slammer at the Red Lion in Norfleet, Kent? Well, I don't know if you like to fly, but I wonder if you would like to shine like a star in the sky. I think that would be really great. And the Apostle Paul says, you can. You don't have to go to the Slammer. You don't have to be attractive and outgoing. You don't have to be able to dance. Isn't that good news? But every single person here, Paul says that you can shine like stars in the sky. Paul has just given us this amazing picture of Jesus. Jez went through it with us 2 weeks ago. I want to remind you how Paul shows us Jesus. I just want to put it up on the screen, please. This is what Paul said a couple of weeks ago. This is Jesus being in very nature God. He made himself nothing and humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. I want you to notice that word, obedient. That's why Jesus humbled himself. It was out of obedience to God the Father. And obedience is the connection between Christ and the Christian. That passage today, it'd be great to have it in front of you. It starts with the word, therefore. Therefore, just as Jesus obeyed his heavenly Father, so we are to obey our heavenly Father. Jesus was obedient in everything, even unto death on a cross. We are to be obedient in everything. Now, please listen. This is really important. There are two equal and equally dangerous errors in the Christian life. Right? One error is to think that my obedience doesn't matter. And it goes like this. If all my sins are forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross, then it doesn't matter how I live because I'm forgiven anyway. My obedience doesn't matter because it's Christ's obedience that saves me. So I can eat, drink, and be merry because Jesus has paid for it all. That's one error. My obedience just doesn't matter. The other equally dangerous error, though, is to think that my obedience or my acts of love, my acts of charity, the things that I do, actually save me. They make me right with God. Have you seen the film Saving Private Ryan? Right at the end of that film, it's a Second World War film set in Normandy. It's about this American soldier, Private James Ryan. And this team of American soldiers are sent into Normandy to rescue him. And one by one, they all die saving Private Ryan. And as the captain of this rescue team dies, his very last words to Private James Ryan, who will now live because they've all died, his very last words are, do you remember? James, earn this. Earn what we have done for you. And that's how lots and lots of us think about God, isn't it? If we're honest, that's how we think about God. We think every good thing I do gets me one more mark. Every good thing I do gets me one more tick. It gets me one more step along the way to God accepting me. But please understand, that is not Christianity. That is religion. It's religion. Religion says, I obey, therefore I'm accepted. But Christianity says, I'm accepted through what Jesus has done, and therefore I obey. Do you see the difference? I really hope you can see the difference. Obedience in the Christian life really, really, really matters, but it cannot save you. It cannot make you right with God. But your obedience can be a great assurance that you have been accepted by God. So let me read verse 12. Read it with me. Verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Do you know how important one little word can be? Paul does not say, work for your salvation. He says, work out your salvation. You cannot work for your salvation because it's a gift which Jesus has paid for on the cross and he offers to us free. But you can work out your salvation. You can live out what God has done in you. It starts on the inside and it works out in how you treat people. Your obedience works out in how you make your marriage work. Your obedience works out in how you parent your children. Your obedience to Jesus works out in the way that you talk, in the way that you serve, in the way that you give. And to live out our salvation with those words fear and trembling means to do it knowing that nothing is hidden from God. You see, don't you find it really quite easy to be obedient when other people are looking? Because I want people to think that I'm kind and generous and reasonable. So I will be obedient. I will be nice. But what's your obedience like when there's no one around? And the only person who sees is God. That's what it means to live out our salvation in fear and trembling. It means to live a life of obedience just because it's good and true, not because we're trying to impress someone who might be watching. And yet at the same time, verse 13, Paul says something really odd. Just look at it with me. He then says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. It's God who's doing this. So who is it? Who's doing the obedience? Is it you and me or is it God? Well, here's the thing. This is difficult, okay? If you're a believer, it's God who gives you the desire. It's God who gives you the power to live in obedience. But you still have to get on and do it. So let me give you just a really simple example. Bible reading. Okay? So I have decided I am going to read the whole Bible in 1 year. Okay? That is quite hard work. No one tells me to read the Bible. No one checks up on me to see if I'm doing it. Perhaps they should, but they don't. No one checks up on me. It's completely my choice. But God has put it in my heart to read his word every day. He's given me the desire to do it. He's given me the power to do it, but it won't just happen, will it? It does not read itself. Every morning, I physically have to open it and read it. Do you know, it was said of Hudson Taylor, that fantastic missionary in China. It was said of him, he prayed about things as if everything depended upon the praying, but he worked also as if everything depended on the working. Do you see? It's both. It's God at work in us, and it's our obedience. Both. Work out, live out your salvation in obedience to Christ, and you will shine like stars in the sky. That's the point that Paul is making. Christ-like obedience is incredibly attractive. And when you live it out in fear and trembling, you will shine. You will shine in the world like stars shine in the sky. And I just want to tell you a little story just to show you what I mean. What does it look like to shine like a star in the sky? So a little story that Tim Chester tells in this book. Let me just read it to you because I've always loved it. He says this, John Stott is one of the most influential Christian leaders of the 20th century. His books have sold well over 1 million copies, and he has spoken to large crowds all over the world. Okay, that's John Stott. Tim Chester then says, when I was a teenager, I went to a conference where John Stott was the speaker. As people were gathering, my friend popped off to the toilet, so I was left on my own looking sheepish. We've all had that feeling, haven't we? You're on your own, big conference, everybody else knows somebody, you don't. An older man started talking to me, asking about what I was doing in life. I was very relieved to have a friendly face to talk to. Then my friend returned and the man introduced himself. Hello, I'm John Stott. My jaw hit the floor. John Stott was world famous and about to give the main address at the conference, but his concern was with the nerdy kid in the corner looking lonely. Since that day, I've probably read 30 or so books by John Stott, and I've heard him speak many times, but nothing has influenced me quite as much as that first encounter. That's the kind of leader I want to be. Not selfishness, but self-sacrifice. There is a beauty in obedience that shines like a star in the sky. But if you want to know how to spoil that beauty, and if you want to know how to stop shining, Paul tells us in verse 14. He says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Those things seem insignificant, don't they? But Paul says they're key because they go to the heart of the Christian life. When we grumble and argue, it reveals what's going on in our hearts. When we grumble, it says, I don't trust God. I'm not content with what he's provided. I deserve more than this. But grumbling and arguing also says something about what we think of each other. A massive part of our witness to the world out there is how we treat each other in here. And Paul has just said, in all your relationships, have the same mindset as Jesus. If we very clearly don't love each other, if we very clearly bear grudges against each other, and we grumble and we argue, it makes the gospel much, much less believable. It makes it much less admirable to the world who's watching. I fear the tendency to grumble and to argue and to find fault and to moan and to insist on what I want, I fear that is deeply ingrained in some of us. And we don't even notice we're doing it. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Obedience. Obedience. It cannot save you. But it's so important in the Christian life. And part of it is doing everything without grumbling and arguing. So John Newton, the famous hymn writer, he had a little story he used to tell about grumbling. He says, imagine a man was going to New York to take possession of an amazing inheritance that he had received. This vast estate that has been left to him in a will. Amazing. And on the way there, his carriage breaks down just 1 mile from the city. Just 1 mile from this amazing inheritance, he breaks down and he has to walk the last mile. What would we think of that man if we saw that man walking that one last mile and all we heard from him was whining and complaining, woe is me, my carriage is broken, I've got to walk, isn't this appalling, I'm disgusted. That man has forgotten who he is and he's forgotten where he's going. And we do the same. So often we forget there. If you're in Christ, you're a child of God, and you're on your way to an inheritance that cannot spoil or perish or fade. So imagine, I'd love to imagine this. Imagine that we all served without grumbling. Imagine that we all gave without grumbling. Imagine if we all made commitments without grumbling. I'd love that. Wouldn't you love that? I'd love that. That's what it looks like to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. And when we do, we will shine the way stars shine in the sky. So we're going to finish, as Paul finishes, with two examples, okay? All this might sound difficult, but Paul says, I want to give you two examples. Real life people who you know, real life people who are shining like stars, real life people whose example you can copy. Timothy and Epaphroditus. Timothy had helped to plant the church in Philippi in the first place. He was a leader. But verse 20, Paul says, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. That's the thing about Timothy. He's interested in the welfare of others, not his own. And someone has said, you know what? Be on the lookout for Christians like that. Be on the lookout for people who don't have an inflated view of their own importance. Be on the lookout for people who cheerfully pick up after other people. Be on the lookout for people who don't get offended if no one asks after them because they're so busy asking after other people. That is what it means to be committed to the well-being of others. And then there's Epaphroditus, who was also from Philippi, we think. Verse 25, Paul calls him my brother, my co-worker, and my fellow soldier. Epaphroditus had taken a journey of hundreds of miles so that he could partner with Paul in the gospel. And it made him ill, almost to the point of death. But he still wanted to take the return journey back to Philippi so that he could take this letter that we're reading back to the people in Philippi. Same as Timothy, Epaphroditus has this concern for other people, even to the point of risking his life for them. So here's the thing. Paul wants the Philippians, and he wants us, to copy people like Timothy and Epaphroditus. He wants us to spot Christians who live out their lives of obedience and copy them. But more than that, Paul is asking you and me the question, when people look at you and me, what do they see? Do they see people like Timothy, like Epaphroditus, who even now, 2,000 years on, as we read about them, they are shining like stars in the sky? We can all shine like stars in the sky. It's just a matter of living out our salvation in fear and trembling. Amen.